listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. Support this podcast, go to www.nakedbibleblog.com.
Welcome again to the Naked Bible Podcast. In the last episode of the podcast, I recommended the best books and reference works for understanding the religion and culture of the ancient Near East as it pertains to Old Testament study. Now, this episode wraps up my overall overview of taking the Bible's own context seriously through immersing yourself into the intellectual output of the era that the biblical writers actually lived in. This time, we're going to take a look at the books that deal with the literature and the context of the Second Temple period, in this case for New Testament study. Now, scholars who spent a lot of time in this material have produced a lot of fine stuff, a lot of great stuff, actually, for explaining how the Second Temple period worldview contributes to New Testament interpretation. And also in the process, they also get into how the Old Testament itself informs New Testament interpretation. Now, my goal in this episode is to direct you to some of the best reference works and monographs pertaining to the context of the Second Temple period, what that does for New Testament interpretation. And as before, you can find the resources that I'll mention here on the Naked Bible Podcast website. That's www.nakedbiblepodcast.com, and look under the Bibliography and Resources tab for links to all these works. Now, just like I did last time, I'm going to start with my most recommended materials. These are going to be reference works that any serious student of the Bible who cares about understanding, in this case, the New Testament in context, you will own these. If, again, you really want to pay attention to this, you really want to go beyond Bible reading to something that's genuinely Bible study, and then paying attention to the actual biblical context, not some other context when you do your Bible study. Now, the last podcast episode, we were introduced to something called the InterVarsity Press, the IVP Bible Dictionary Series. They had several volumes related to the Old Testament. Well, they also have several volumes related to the New Testament. And these are highly recommended. I use them all the time. They're just wonderful resources. So the first one is edited by Joel Green, and it's called Dictionary of Jesus and the Gospels. Does a great job of situating the gospel material and all sorts of academic questions and issues about the gospels in a Second Temple period context and an Old Testament context. Another one edited by Hawthorne is the Dictionary of Paul and His Letters. That's followed by the Dictionary of the Later New Testament and its developments. The editor for that is Lansma. And Craig Evans also edits a broader volume in this series called The Dictionary of New Testament Background. All of these are highly recommended. They're excellent. They have great discussions. They're coherent, they're informed, and also very good bibliography. Now, one more source here. Carol Vandertorn, the editor of Dictionary of Deities and Demons in the Bible. We mentioned this one last time in the last episode for our Old Testament context, but you should realize that that book, that reference work, DDD as we know it, includes the New Testament. So it's the whole Bible, Deities and Demons in the Bible. And so you will find a very specific article entries on, let's say, Paul's terminology for divine beings, like the elements, the Greek word is the stoicheia. You will find very specific entries with great bibliography and, again, contextualizing the discussion as it ought to be. Moving on from that, Amy Jill Levine is the editor of something new called the Jewish Annotated New Testament. Now, what this really is it's essentially a study Bible. It's a New Testament study Bible, but the editors and the writers of the notes in this study Bible are all Jewish. And they're Jewish scholars. So this will help you get an informed New Testament reading through Jewish eyes. Again, this is a recommended work. I know several people who have either gone through the whole thing or almost the whole thing by now and just love it. It's a broad. It's not going to be a scholarly work per se, but it will give you a broad overview of Jewish context for what you're reading in the New Testament. Lastly, in this category, the reference category, I'm going to include a book by Simmons called Peoples of the New Testament World, an Illustrated Guide. Now, if you listen to the last episode, there was a book called Peoples of the Old Testament World. This is sort of a counterpart. It's going to go through all the major groups or players in the New Testament, things like Roman soldiers and centurions or Pharisees and Sadducees, zealots, different groups that you encounter, the Samaritans, again, for example. And it has short descriptions of what's going on with that term, who these people are, again, with good bibliography, and again, pertinent commentary related to where these individuals show up in the New Testament and how you need some background information to understand their importance. Now let's go to monographs now, again, just single volume works on specific things related to studying the New Testament in context, and again, the context of the Old Testament and the context of the Second Temple period. Some general works on Second Temple context. Oscar Scarsong has two books that I have listed here. One is called Jewish Believers in Jesus, the Early Centuries, and the other one is called In the Shadow of the Temple, Jewish Influences on Early Christianity. These are broad, sweeping works. They have lots of pages. They're very detailed, and they go through the New Testament, the major sections. Again, it goes through period by period as well. The literature, the ritual, the culture, pretty much anything you can think of, again, as it pertains to life in the first century, as you would encounter it as either a Jew or a Jewish believer in Jesus, someone living at the dawn of the early church. It's excellent. Both of them are excellent, and I recommend them. David Flusser has two volumes. Now, these are going to be written at a level, a more academic level. They might be a little more dense than Scarsone, and that again is by design. These two works would make good reference works. I don't know that you'd want to read them straight through, but you might. The first one is called Judaism of the Second Temple Period, Volume 1, Qumran and Apocalypticism. Again, you can tell by the title, it's fairly focused. Qumran, of course, is the location where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. Apocalypticism is the belief that the end of the world was impending. And so there's a lot of that sort of material at Qumran and floating around in the Second Temple period that informs parts of the New Testament. And the second volume is Judaism of the Second Temple Period, Volume 2, Sages and Literature. This would be essentially material that's not apocalyptic. So again, these are two good reference. I don't have them grouped in reference works because they're not edited volumes necessarily. They're shorter, but they're pretty dense, and so you could consider them as things to consult rather than just to read straight through, but you might want to do that. Craig Evans has a book called The World of Jesus and the Early Church, Identity and Interpretation in Early Communities of Faith. Again, the title gives you an idea of what's covered there. That will be more readable. It's shorter, it's more compact, and therefore it doesn't cover as much as the other volumes that I included, but really anything Craig Evans does is worth having. He's an excellent scholar, an enjoyable guy as well, with a broadly evangelical perspective. Next category would be Interpretation of Scripture in New Testament Times. Now, if you would flag one of these in this list as being really, really maybe the top of the list, top shelf importance, it would be this one. What this category means, Interpretation of Scripture in New Testament Times, is that the New Testament writers had methods of interpreting the Old Testament. And those methods were very much in the mainstream, in concert with the way people in the Second Temple era were interpreting the Old Testament as well. So we can't be thinking a thought like the New Testament writers, just because we have this doctrine called inspiration, that the New Testament writers were somehow getting a new method from God for looking at the Old Testament, or we're coming up with something novel. Now, again, in many ways, you could say that there was a novel twist because Jesus was incarnate, and they're looking at things through the lens of Jesus. But what they're doing in terms of interpretive method with the Old Testament is completely mainstream for their culture. And I'm going to give you some books here that will help you understand that, help you frame that, and again, inform your New Testament study. These works also focus on the fact that when the New Testament writers quote the Old Testament, they don't always use the same text. Paul might quote from the Hebrew in one place, he might quote from the Septuagint in another. In a third occasion, you might not be sure what he's quoting. Maybe he's influenced by an Aramaic translation, a Targum. There are all sorts of issues when it comes to the citation of the Old Testament. And it really matters, because one thing you learn pretty quickly is that the New Testament writers do not, and I repeat, do not just strike literal one-to-one equivalences between the Old and New Testament, or between the Old Testament and what they're saying about Jesus. They will do things with Old Testament passages that you'll look at and you'll wonder, how in the world are they ever getting that point? And it's going to be books like the ones I'll list here in a moment that help you understand what in the world they're doing, and how people in that day would have looked at what they were doing and said, oh, I get it. You know, you're adopting this method, you're using that method. It wasn't foreign to them. So let's go through the volumes here. There's one by Watson that is really valuable for historical overview. It's called A History of Biblical Interpretation, Volume 1, The Ancient Period. It's a survey of various interpretive methods by different people, different groups, and how the New Testament writers, you know, would be interacting with that or part of that. Beale has a book called Handbook on the New Testament Use of the Old Testament, Exegesis and Interpretation. If you're going to pick a book off this list, I would recommend Beale's book to sit down and just read the whole thing, because it's designed as an introduction to how the New Testament uses the Old and why that matters for biblical interpretation. Three volumes by Moyse, M-O-Y-I-S-E, in case you're listening. He is a respected New Testament Second Temple scholar that focuses on the use of the Old Testament in the New. And so I list his three volumes here. These really are, they're very academic. They're almost bibliographic essays. Who says what about what? What are the issues? All that sort of thing. So again, this is one of those that's almost a reference work, but yet isn't. Don't tackle these until you've read through Beale's book and gain some understanding through that book. But Moyse has three books: Jesus and Scripture, Studying the New Testament Use of the Old Testament; Paul and Scripture, again, Studying the New Testament Use of the Old; and then thirdly, Later New Testament Writings and Scripture, the Old Testament and Acts, Hebrews, the general Catholic epistles, and the book of Revelation. So this is a very important category, and you want to have good material here and be exposed at least to Beale, and I would say also Watson, thoroughly, so you know what the issues are when you go to interpret the New Testament and you're reading commentaries and other material. You'll be able to understand what the concerns of the commentator are, really what he's talking about when it comes to hermeneutics and exegesis. Greco-Roman Hellenistic Context. I have three volumes here. Ferguson's book, Backgrounds of Early Christianity. Again, this favors Greco-Roman backgrounds rather than the Second Temple Jewish. But again, the Romans were the overlords here, so they're still in the Second Temple period. But because they controlled so much of the area and their influence was so broad, there is something to be said for Greco-Roman context as well. Ferguson's book has been a long-standing go-to resource for this kind of material, so I highly recommend that. Jeffers has a book called The Greco-Roman World of the New Testament Era, exploring the background of early Christianity. It would be more recent than Ferguson in several respects, but I can't say that it would supersede Ferguson, but if you're going to have two books, these would be the two best to have. Third is David Da Silva's Honor, Patronage, Kinship, and Purity, Unlocking New Testament Culture. And I list it here because broadly it is about New Testament culture, Jewish and Roman. But I listed it here because it's not exclusively, again, Second Temple Jewish. You will get Greco-Roman material in here, but the nice thing about this book is it'll also relate it to a Jewish context here and there as well. You should also have something about the history of the Second Temple period itself. And so three titles here. Lester Grob's An Introduction to Second Temple Judaism. Schiffman's From Text to Tradition, A History of Second Temple and Rabbinic Judaism. And Saki's book, The History of the Second Temple Period. Now, of the three, the third volume is the most lengthy. It'd be the most academic, again, just in terms of reader level or reader expectation. But the others are going to be fine. This will give you a good overview of the history of the period, the groups, the sects, like Pharisees, Sadducees, and whatnot, and this formative period, because Rabbinic Judaism, what we think of as Rabbinic Judaism, which is actually post-New Testament, actually has its beginnings in the Second Temple period. So this will give you a good overview of all that. Let's talk about Dead Sea Scrolls a little bit. I've listed several books here specifically that relate to the Dead Sea Scrolls and their impact on Christianity or Christian ideas or Christian origins. So let's run through them. Peter Flint and James Vanderkam have a book called The Meaning of the Dead Sea Scrolls, Their Significance for Understanding the Bible, Judaism, Jesus, and Christianity. So that one's broader, but it's a very good intro. Craig Evans, again, has a book, Christian Beginnings and the Dead Sea Scrolls. Again, it's all about how the scrolls inform our understanding of the genesis of the early church, the sort of the makeup of it, the Jewishness of it. Joseph Fitzmyer, The Dead Sea Scrolls and Christian Origins, again, accomplishes or works on the same tasks as Evans's book. A little more specialized here, John Collins, two volumes by him, Religion in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and then a second volume called The Scepter and the Star, Messianism, or Messianism, might be a bring out for those of you who are listening and don't see the term. This is about messiahship. Messianism in the Light of the Dead Sea Scrolls is the title, The Scepter and the Star. Messianism in the Light of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Both of these volumes deal with really sort of the theology of the people at Qumran associated with the Dead Sea Scrolls and the theology of Second Temple Judaism, and even more particularly what their views of Messiah were, what their messianic expectation was. Now, in that regard, the next title, also again by Craig Evans, is Eschatology, again, that's the study of last things. Eschatology, Messianism, and the Dead Sea Scrolls. Again, this focuses again on their messianic expectations and also their expectations about the time of the end, because the Qumran community, or at least certain portions of them, thought themselves to be living in the last days. And again, that's something you read in the New Testament as well. So these sorts of works inform us about the theology of serious Jews at the time, and also, again, very specific doctrinal issues related to New Testament studies, such as Christology or messianic expectations. Next category is Pseudepigrapha, Apocrypha, and the New Testament. I have two titles here. They're both aimed at sort of giving us a good look, a broad overview of how the pseudepigrapha and the apocrypha matters for New Testament interpretation. Charlesworth is the first one here. His book is called The Old Testament Pseudepigrapha and the New Testament. Again, you'll learn all about the conceptual overlaps there and how one informs the other. And then David De Silva, The Jewish Teachers of Jesus, James, and Jude, What Earliest Christianity Learned from the Apocrypha and Pseudepigrapha. Now, this is a brand new title. I'm making this podcast in August of 2012. This book is not due out until October. For those of you who are listening who go to the Evangelical Theological Society meetings or the Society of Biblical Literature meetings, I'm sure this book will be there in time for the conference, but just for those of you who might be listening, want to be clicking on the links on the NakedBiblePodcast.com website for this book. It's not published just yet. It'll be a couple months. Lastly, I have a category called Contextualized New Testament Theology. Are there books that really sort of do theology, do New Testament theology, against the backdrop of the Second Temple period, and sort of flesh out what that looks like? Again, New Testament theology explained in light of a deep understanding of the Old Testament and how there's continuity between the Old and New Testaments and also the Second Temple material. Well, there's actually a lot of that, but I've listed three titles here and then a fourth that sort of goes with the first three. These three titles are all by N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright's written a lot of books, but I recommend these three because they were designed as a trilogy, essentially to really cover the main points, main aspects of New Testament theology. And the three titles are The New Testament and the People of God. That's volume one in a series called Christian Origins and the Question of God. Then his second book, Jesus and the Victory of God, that would be volume two. And then thirdly, The Resurrection of the Son of God, volume three. The material that Wright covers here is just densely permeated with Second Temple contextual material and appreciation and knowledge for that material, and real sensitivity to continuity between the Testaments. Very important. Both those things are very important, again, because that is the New Testament context. Now, Wright is not without controversy. Specifically, he is sort of understood or viewed as the main popularizer of something called the New Perspective on Paul. And briefly, that is a subject that has to do with what was Paul's view of the law, and specifically Paul's view of the works of the law. How was what Paul was saying about the gospel consistent with or an alteration of Jewish thinking about salvation? And Wright is controversial because he rejects the idea that most Jews thought that they could get to heaven by works. And so if you're going to say that, then the question becomes, well, what was Paul upset about? How was he defining the gospel as something new? Well, again, that's what the new perspective is about. Now, toward explaining all that and having a good introduction to it that's even-handed, I recommend Yinger's book. It's a very small book. It's designed for lay people. I've read it, and I think it's excellent. It's called The New Perspective on Paul by Yinger. Again, you could probably knock that out in an hour or two, and it'll give you a very good overview of what the issues are related to that specific topic. So that's what I wanted to cover in this episode. The next time on the Naked Bible, we'll get into some things that might feel more traditionally like recommendations for Bible study. So we're leaving now the contextualization issue. I'm hoping, again, that you'll get some of these books so that you know what there is to think about, some of the questions that need to be asked, some of the landmines in interpretation, and just really feel driven to keep your study of the Bible in the context of the world in which the biblical writers lived, and no other context. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Naked Bible Podcast. To support this podcast, visit www.nakedbibleblog.com. To learn more about Dr. Heiser's other websites and blogs, go to www.drmsh.com.